Thank you, Kerry. Bless you. Could I have my from there? Thank you very much, Jordan. It's good to be with you guys. Thank you for having me this morning. I was so blessed by Larchville last week. I must say, I just want to add my public thanks to the team and for all you guys. You guys are awesome. Honestly, I looked around the field last week, and it was a sea of yellow shirts. They were the team shirts, you know, the official helpers. And I know there were some people that there weren't enough shirts to go around, but we had a huge number of us volunteering and working hard. And I just wanted to say a big thank you. It was fantastic to see. And, you know, in the midst of that, someone came up to me and said, is it worth it? All this hard work, is it worth it? And I looked at them and I thought, I don't even know where to begin to address that question. Because for me, the answer is so obvious. The answer is really obvious. Yes, 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 and yes. And I tried to answer it. But it was really answered for me a couple of days later when I went to the Larchfield Open Table, which is a kind of a meal that they put on monthly at the new community centre, which we actually helped the council design and get up there. It wouldn't have had windows or patio doors or storage or kitchen if we hadn't been involved. So, when I went to that, it was a wonderful evening, and got to chat to some of the kids, which was lovely. So I could just talk about creation, and afterwards, one of the teenagers came up to me, egged on by her mate, and said, "Why is he called Father God? Why isn't it Mother God?" Well, it was a girl, obviously, asking the question. So I had a little conversation with them about why we call God Father. And I said, if you want to, you can call him Mother. It's not really a big deal to God. He doesn't have a sex as such. He has both sexes and none. But there are important aspects of fatherhood that he reflects. And so but that was wonderful to have that conversation with these young teenage girls. And then I sat down for dinner and ate with some of the families. And one of the ladies turned to me and she just said to me, "You know, I've lived on Larchfield a while and I just want to really thank you for what you do in the Larchfield Festival." And she said, "I really want to thank you for all the thought goes into it. And also I want to thank you that you make it accessible to people like me that couldn't afford to go do these things otherwise." And that one little statement, you know, we are blessing a family. One family, but she's just one family. There are many families that have been blessed. And I heard later that she wants to come along and visit us at some point, which is fantastic. So yes, it's worth it. It's fantastic to be a part of. But seriously, guys, I need your prayers. I was a bit worried about my wife this morning. She didn't recognize her son because he had a haircut. Now, you may have noticed I just, can someone just remind her who I am when she comes back from children's ministry this morning? Because I'm a bit worried now going home this afternoon. I might have to start to explain to her. Sorry. But seriously, I was praying to the Lord, asking what he wanted to share this morning. And the word that came to me was fresh starts. And I really felt the Holy Spirit say, actually, he wants to give fresh starts this morning. Look at that. It works. Jordan, fantastic. You're a wizard. Fresh starts. Am I allowed to say that? No, okay. You're a wonder. Not an actual wizard, no. He's just a wonder. So we've already seen some fresh starts this morning. And I love the fact that these kids grow up. They're a great marker of time. You can't hold back time. And I've seen on Facebook this week a number of families proudly posting up pictures of their young ones in school uniform. You know, this is a fresh start for them. Yeah, and some of the key things about a fresh start is sometimes it means going to a new place. Sometimes it means hanging out with new people, you know, like a new teacher, people that don't actually know you. It means stepping out from being with your mum and dad the whole time and going and being with friends, which is a bit scary. I feel for that little one. Going into his new start. We had kids going up from one group to another group. You know, those kids, all those young boys going up into Flow this morning. Can you see them all? There's an army of young lads, five-year-old boys, going up into Flow. Jonathan, we bless you. We pray peace on you. We pray wisdom on you. We pray that all your handcuffs work. Oh, no, he's got no handcuffs. But we just pray for that that time, that they have a real blessed time as they face their new start in this season. And we had the uni guys come out. And, you know, I loved those guys. Those four guys that stood up represented something very significant in River. And Kerry's already honoured them, but, you know, it's fantastic to see them go off. And now they're embarking on a whole new adventure, going to places where they're going to be adults on their own in a university. And I know what that's like. And I remember those days. It feels like yesterday in some ways. But I know a lot of years has passed. And those were significant years. You know, when we step out from the cover of our parents and those that have loved us and supported us and protected us and guided us, and we have to become our own man or our own woman, that's a big change. That's a fresh start. And often, you know, with fresh starts, we have a choice of who we want to be. Because we're in a new place with new people. And we have a choice because they don't know us. Actually, we can be who we want. That's quite fun. They can't say that you're not like that. Why are you like that today? Because sometimes if you wake up and say, I'm going to be different today, I'm going to do it. Someone says, what's happened to you? You're not yourself. You know, they will hold us back from changing. But actually, when we go somewhere new, there's a real freedom to break out from things that we want to break out from, to be different. We don't have our family saying, oh, it will never last. You were like that today, but tomorrow you'll be back to your old self. You know, that kind of helpful encouragement. So fresh starts are fantastic. And that's why we need fresh starts. We need opportunities to change, to grow, to bring positive changes to our lives. Fresh starts are what we need. To stop being some of the things we don't like being. To put down some of the things we know we need to let go of because they're holding us back. We can't journey on this journey carrying those things. I like to climb mountains, but if I've got a rucksack full of rocks, I'm not going to go very far. I have to sling it off and let go. Sometimes we have to let go on our journey in life. When we're climbing the hills of life, we have to let go of stuff in order to get to the places we want to get to. To be the kind of person we long to be. Now, and when we're young, of course, fresh starts are forced on us. You know, when we're young, fresh starts are forced on us. As I say, through the school systems, through our church Sunday schools, you know, every so often we have to begin again, a new teacher. I have a whole new opportunity to behave differently with this new teacher, to start again. The fact that the old teacher used to tell me off every day for chattering, now I have a new start. But as we go on in life, and this is where I feel for you guys going off to university in a way, this is almost your last forced change in that respect. And have you noticed that as adults, when we leave our cycles of education and forced fresh starts, how often we put up with things a whole lot longer than we should? I don't know about you, but I've seen that. That's not my bedroom, Kerry. It's just that I was thinking about this, you know, putting up with things longer than we should. You know, and we all live in houses and live in places that, you know, we've lived in. And sometimes you see a place for the first time, you know, oh, that's got to go. I couldn't possibly live with that. Anybody felt that when they moved into a place or when they viewed the place? Am I the only one? You know, I remember when, yeah, Sheila has double time. Yeah, and I remember when Sadie and I were first engaged, when first, only time we got engaged, and when we were just about to get married, we went to look for a place to buy. And we looked around this little house in Marlow, and we both had a good feel about it. It was almost a council estate house, which is what I was comfortable with. So you put up with that. And we went into the bedroom, one of the bedrooms, and there's this horrendous wallpaper. It was alive. You know, like it was going to come out and eat you or something. You know, it was the kind of wallpaper you could not ignore. I mean, it's quite good for the decade we're in now. This big, bold wallpapers are back in. Back then, it was, you know, everything was kind of understated. And this wallpaper was leaping out at you. And this was our bedroom. We just in the first viewing, we said, oh, that's going to have to, you know, so that the people selling the house couldn't hear, oh, that's going to have to go, you know, couldn't live with this. It's terrible. How long did we live with that? Any guess? Did we ever change? No, we lived with it. We must have lived with it for about 8 years. Public confession. Anybody else done that? Yes. Come on. I'm not the only one. We do. We put up with things sometimes we shouldn't put up with. Actually, we know it needs to change. It's not making us happy. And often these things are more important than wallpaper. But they become the wallpaper of our lives. And you know what? You live with something for long enough, you don't see it anymore. It just becomes the wallpaper. You're expecting it. Your brain just tells you to ignore it. It's no longer fresh. You know. And that is tragic when it's wallpaper. But, you know, when it's the things that really matter about who we are, about what we're called to be, about our lives, about what we're going to do with the short time that we have on this planet, that is just heart, gut-wrenching, sad. Something's got to give. We get so used to being a certain way, we stop thinking about it. And it becomes part of the wallpaper of our lives. You know, and I could name stuff here. But I want you now just to take a moment, just a quiet moment, ask the Holy Spirit, is there any wallpaper in my life that needs to change? Stuff that I know needs to go, I need to let go of. But I've just grown used to. Stuff I shouldn't put up with. Stuff that's holding me back from being all that you're calling me to be, Father. See, some fresh starts are forced upon us by a change of circumstances beyond our control. Like if the company moves, or if they make us redundant, or whatever else, or if we go up to a new school level or whatever. Some changes are forced. But, you know, fresh starts can be chosen. We've got our Ignite course starting a week on Monday, we've got about 15 people signed up to that, which is fantastic. Really happy. These people are choosing a fresh start. That is amazing. And do you know what? God will honor that choice. I know for a fact God will meet them in the choosing of their fresh start. Ignite is our discipleship course. It's a course that we put on every Monday to really release people into their destiny. So these guys are making a fantastic choice to change something in their lives, and I know they're going to be blessed by it. But our God is a God who loves fresh starts. He's the God of second chances. There's a song at the moment somewhere out there. I think the Wren Collective sing a song. Our God is the God of second chances. He loves to give us another chance. He loves to give us fresh starts. You can read about him. I'll just give a couple of quick examples from the Bible. There's one, Manasseh. Anybody know much about Manasseh? A little. Is he a good guy? Is that, the clues are up there. He was a rotter. He was an absolute cad and a bounder. A binder. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of the bad guys, there's some redeeming qualities. It's hard to find one with Manasseh. He filled Jerusalem with innocent blood, it tells us in 2 Kings, chapter 21. He worshipped all kinds of different gods. He was the son of Hezekiah. Hezekiah, that man of God. Hezekiah, that man of faith who saw off the Assyrian armies just a few years earlier through faith. And yet he starts to worship other gods. And not only does he worship them, that picture is a cartoon, but it's a horrific picture because he's actually sacrificing his kids in the fire to that god in order to get what he wants. He thinks that's going to work. He practiced witchcraft. If you read the 2 Kings 21 version of his life, there is no redeeming feature or quality at all with this man. He's just evil and wicked, and he gets his just desserts. But if you turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 33, you see, what happens is the Assyrians that his father had seen off, Sennacherib had gone back with his tail between his legs, come back and they capture Jerusalem and Judah and they take Manasseh prisoner. He's gone into exile, the king of Judah. And look what it says in verse 10 of chapter 33. It says, "And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen." Give us ears to hear, Lord, what you're saying to us. Let our hearts not be hard. "Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks, bound him with bronze fetters, and carried him off to Babylon." They had a habit of doing that, just deporting people to funny countries, different places. "Now when he was in affliction, he implored the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers." Unbelievable. Unbelievable. He's lost everything. He's captive now in a foreign land. And now he decides to pray to the God of his father Hezekiah, who had delivered his father miraculously. Now he prays. And do you know what? Look at what happens next. Does God tell him to get lost? So often we would do. Someone had treated us so badly over many, many years. But God said, when he cried out to the God of his fathers and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. That's amazing. That's amazing. That's good news for you and for me. Because you cannot think of a person who's more evil than Manasseh. You cannot think of someone in a darker place than Manasseh is. And yet when he cried out to God, God heard him. Some people think the Old Testament is full of vengeance and blood and God's a different kind of God. But this is the same God as the God of the New Testament. He's a God of grace and a God of peace and a God of mercy. And he had mercy on Manasseh and brought him back and reinstalled him as king. even though he'd sacrificed his own kids. You see, God loved him. And that love is not a wishy-washy thing. God loved him enough to get his attention. Even if it had to be through pain or through suffering. Now, God didn't intend that, but actually, God will use it to get his attention. Sometimes, when we get desperate, we cry out to God. Anyone ever done that? Am I the only one that's waiting until we're desperate to really cry out? The good news is, actually, God will still hear us, because God treats us better than we deserve. And another bit of good news is, God's fresh starts are free. They cost nothing. He didn't actually do anything. He was helpless in a foreign land with nothing to give. He'd lost everything. And at that rock bottom place, he cries out. And God freely forgives him and reinstates him. Freely gives him a fresh start. You know, John, my boy, made me laugh this week. He said, "Dad, I know how to get free stuff." I thought, okay, I'm not sure I'm going to like this. This could be bad. But I tell my son that thieving is wrong. I know how to get free stuff. A friend of mine at school, George, told me. I said, "I'm going to have some words with George. I know his parents." And he said, "What you've got to do, Dad, is you've got to write a letter to this bloke called Santa Claus. And then, right, what you do is you write down all the stuff that you want, and then you put it on the fire in the chimney. Then it goes to Santa. And you get all this free stuff. It doesn't cost us anything. How good is that, Dad?" Can you please pray for my family? I need to tread through that minefield. Bring some truth and revelation to my boy at some point. But there's a letter now sitting on our fire saying, "Dear Santa, I'd really like a nice two-wheel scoot, please. Scooter." Anyway. But that's free. I mean, it's not free. That's not free. That's a lie. My son believes a lie. I've got to get him freedom. But the truth is that God's second chances, God's fresh starts, are absolutely free. Manasseh did not give a thing for it. All he did was cry out in desperation, and God heard him. And the reason I wanted to give that example this morning, because that means that for all of us, there is hope. For all of us, we know that God hears us, and for all of us, there's a fresh start just around the corner. Wherever we need it. That's fantastic news. You know, I know that personally, because back in 2001, I was crying out to God. I got into a difficult place. I was doing successfully in business. I was doing fine in lots of other areas. But I was dead in my relationship with the Lord. I was actually cold in my faith. And I was, and I was crying out to God, saying, "God, you've got to do something. I'm dead here. I need reviving." And I cried out for a period of about 6 months. And then I remember sitting under a statue of John Wesley and praying a prayer and saying, "God, please, you've got to blow through me like you blew through that man. You bring life to me again." That night, a prophet came through our church and prophesied over me, saying, "God is coming to give you a fresh start." He didn't use those words, but he said, "It's time for you to adventure with Jesus again." I got a fresh start that night. I wept and I wept and I wept because God treated me better than I deserved. But I got a fresh start. So I know that God is the God of fresh starts. I could go back further than that, because I had another one at university when I cried out. I didn't even know if God existed. And I was caught up in all kinds of stuff I needed to let go of. Lust and pride and selfishness and jealousy and all kinds of things that attacked my heart. And I said, "God, if you're there, I need help." And the next day I woke up and the whole world looked different, and I knew that God had heard me. And I can't explain that. All I can say is, if you've never tried it, you should try it today. Because God is waiting to answer our prayers, and he waits to be invited into our lives. God is gentle and humble. He doesn't force his way in. But every time we open the door, he walks in Behold, I stand at the door and knock, he says. If anyone invites me in, I'll come in and eat with him. You want to have dinner with Jesus tonight? Simple. Just open the door. Let him in. Okay, what time is it? Ah, right. Okay, I'm going to miss out the New Testament example. Because I was going to just say the disciples, you know, they Jesus was always giving his disciples fresh starts. They were always getting fresh starts. You know, from the moment he called them, follow me, they left their livelihoods. That was a big cost for them. They left their livelihood. They left the fishing boats. They left the nets. They left the huge catch of fish that they had just landed, the biggest fish of their catch of their lives. And they just left it all. So actually, following you, Jesus, is more important than all of that. Later on, he sends them out two by two to go out and preach the good news, to tell everybody that God is for them, to tell them that the kingdom of heaven is near. And what's more, not only are you going to preach it, but you're going to live it, you're going to demonstrate it, you're going to heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, drive out demons. And they go out and they pray and they see the kingdom of heaven come. Another fresh start for them. Up to that point, they weren't doing that. They were seeing Jesus do it. They were watching and listening and learning, but they had never done it. Then Jesus sends them out with a fresh start to different places, to new places, amongst new people who hadn't known them before, and they could arrive as messengers of God. That's what's so wonderful about mission, when we go on mission trips. Because when we go to a foreign country, like I like to go to Nepal, but we go all over as a church, mission trips all over the world. And what's great about going intentionally, you can go as a messenger of God, and no one's going to say, I know you, Dunk. You just like to have a pint of beer down the pub with your mates. You know, no one's going to say that to you. They're going to say, welcome in the name of the Lord. They're actually going to expect you to minister the gospel. They're going to expect you to believe what you say you believe and actually minister the life and the love of Jesus. They're going to expect you to bless them. They'll expect you to bless them financially. They'll expect you to bless them with your love. They'll expect you to bless them through your prayers, through your preaching, through your teaching. They'll just expect it. We can be different people when we go on mission. The trick is to come back and be that different person and to keep the new start, to keep the breakthrough. And if you need a breakthrough, one of the best ways is to go on mission. And if you want to go on mission, talk to Ian and Liz. They lead up our mission team. We're always arranging trips. There's a couple this autumn. Probably too late for that. But go. Get a breakthrough. Get a fresh start. You see, it knows that I've run out of time, so it's not letting me even press. Okay, quickly, I'll finish. Okay, you see, to know that we need a fresh start is not enough. I knew that wallpaper needed changing before I moved in. To know it is not enough. There's a cost in changing. There's a cost that has to happen for us to really bring the fresh start often. We need to change something. We need to actively do something. And in order to do that, it's just not enough to know it. Do you know that? You don't know, don't you? As a young man, I knew things about my character that needed to change. I could not change them. I needed an inspiration. Inspiration is the power. It's the shove. It's the thing that gets behind us and says, God, you're going to do this. That's why Jesus says, ask the Lord of the harvest to thrust out workers into the harvest field. Because actually, we need inspiration. Come on. I need inspiration. I need a big shove from the Holy Spirit to do stuff. We all do. We need something that's going to give us that energy, that inertia, to break the inertia of the rut that we're in, the things that we're doing that we've always done, to change those things. And do you know what? There is no better place of inspiration than Jesus Christ. That's why as the church we say we like to look on the face of Jesus. Because if we do that enough, we will be inspired. Inspired. Breathed life into. Energy into. We will receive a passion and an energy and a vision for change, for doing something worthwhile with our lives. There is no better place to go than Jesus for inspiration. Honestly, I can't think of anything that comes close. There are things that do make me go, wow. Mountains and stars and planets and creation. Things that make me go, wow, that's fantastic. But nothing gives me the inspiration to change like Jesus. Jesus inspires us to think the unthinkable. when he sent his disciples out, he said, don't worry about money. Don't take any money with you. Don't take any possessions with you. You don't need money or possessions. Huh? We read that just in a sentence and we think, oh, that's nice. But, you know, that is tough. Because our whole society is always telling us we've got to look after ourselves. We've got a plan. We need these things. We need houses and cars and holidays and mortgages. But actually, Jesus says, no. Don't worry about those things. The rest of the world worries about those things. You worry about what's most important. He gave them inspiration to change and to focus on what was really important. He gave them inspiration to actually dare to believe that God was with them, that if they prayed, that heaven would come. Heaven was near. That's incredible. You know, one of the things I liked about Larchfield last week was meeting Debbie again, the lady who I prayed for, who had a really severely arthritic knees, who went click, 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 who wake up her children by walking upstairs with clicking knees. And we prayed for her and declared the love of God over her, and we spoke the word of healing to her on the street in Maidenhead, and it worked. And on the Saturday, I was serving her a burger. I said, hi, Debbie, how are the knees? She said, they're fantastic. No problem since you prayed. She said, I have to admit, I was a bit skeptical. But God is the God of breakthrough, and heaven will come through us if we believe. Anyway, that's another story. Yeah, another message. But Jesus is incredible, and he inspires today, and he wants to give us all fresh starts today. That's the truth. That is the truth. So, Rob, will you play something for me? I want to finish with that promise. Because as I've been speaking, I know the Holy Spirit has been speaking to people about things that we'd like to change. Things that actually we said had to go, but we're still fine, they're still there years later. Actually, dreams that we have about doing something worthwhile with our lives, dreams about bringing heaven to earth, but actually they're on hold a bit when we need inspiration for another breakthrough, another change, another transformation, another fresh start, another shove of inspiration out to adventure with Jesus. And I'm going to put both those two things together. And if you need a fresh start this morning, Jesus said, I'm giving fresh starts today. If you need a fresh start in an area of your life, I'd like you to stand now. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, our God is amazing. Our God is so amazing. He loves you with an undying love. He loves you with an undying love. He's heard your cry. He's heard your heart's cry. And he's coming with a fresh start today. He's coming with a fresh start. That word inspire means kind of like to fill with breath, with life. The Lord wants to breathe life into your lives again today. The areas that you need, the inspiration, the inspiring of his Spirit, the filling of his Spirit, the breath of God is coming for breakthrough. The Lord is getting behind you, and right now I can see his hands in the small of your back, and he's bracing himself to give you a big push. The inspiration of his Spirit, the wind of his Spirit blowing in your life to push you in the direction that he wants you to go, that you know you need to go. Oh, Jesus. Jesus, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing in the lives of these people, Lord God. Thank you for them. Let your love fill them right now. Let the knowledge of your fatherhood, of your care, fill these people. That you're getting behind them and shoving them, thrusting them, Father God, into a fresh start, a new day, and you're breaking off old thought patterns, you're breaking off old habits. The old wallpaper is being ripped off right now. It's been ripped off right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And it's costly, guys. It's costly. It's going to cost. But the reward that comes, the joy that comes from walking in newness of life is worthwhile. Thank you, Jesus. Newness of life is coming to you in the name of the living God. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. 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 And if you're here and you don't know Jesus, the inspirer, the God who loves you, today could be a fresh start for you. He's waiting, as I said, at the door of your life, waiting for you to invite him in. And if you do invite him in this morning, you will have a friend for the rest of your days and into eternity. If you're not sure, if you think you'd like what you've heard but you're not sure, then attend the Alpha course. Go and see Chris. Sign up. It's a fantastic course to get to know the God of love. But if you are here and you don't know Christ, then you want to invite Christ into your heart, then do it right now. Do it right now. Don't wait another moment. Today is the day of salvation.
Just before Colin started speaking, I just felt the Holy Spirit prompting me that there was people that change was coming, but not out of your choice, but that change was coming, big change was coming, and that you were worried about that. And then as Colin's been speaking, I just felt that the word was that God's grace is on that change for you. And just to share, really, that, you know, I was really frightened when I found out I was pregnant again this time. But the, God's grace has been amazing. Amazing. So I just wanted to encourage you that if you're facing a big change, that actually his grace is amazing.
His plans are to prosper us and not to harm us, to give us hope and a future. The shove is not a shove into danger. It might appear more dangerous in some ways, but it's always a shove into his goodness that we've been talking about this morning. It's always a shove into hope and into freedom and into life and into joy and into healing. Thank you, Jesus. You're amazing. Thank you, Father. Amen.